Okay, everyone, this is Tales of the Cryptids, a podcast about cryptids, conspiracies, cults, demons, serial killers, and any other horrors, real or not. Join us today for some good laughs as we uncover the truths about the strange and the unexplained.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Adam, with our other co-host, Ross. Two morning poops, Ross. Two morning poops. And Joe.
Hey.
Ronnie Rose couldn't make it today. He's not feeling well with coronavirus.
Some say he's potentially infected.
Don't know. But, can y'all just say hello so people know your voices as well?
What's going on, guys? I'm Ross.
Hey, this is Joe.
Nice. All right, so today we're going to be talking about coronavirus, and it's also known as COVID 19. So that's Coronavirus Disease 2019. So I want to get into the stats real quickly.
Yeah, so actually, Johns Hopkins has gotten a really good resource for you guys. So I highly recommend Googling Hopkins or Johns Hopkins coronavirus report. And so they actually give us live updates with all of, you know, the metrics, where it is. It's pretty cool. Like, I'm blanking on the guy who created it, but a lot of work and energy has gone through it. So currently, there has been a total of 1,527 deaths, 8,500 people have recovered from it, and total confirmed cases that they have are... right now. So it was actually last updated at 223 on February 15th. So it's like they've got the shit on lock.
Yeah.
Just about like where it's happening, but pretty much 66,500 cases have been in mainland China. And like,
dude, there's actually I looked at it today. It's up 67,194.
Oh shit!
But there's also 100 more people have recovered from it.
Okay.
As well, so there's some other stats out there. It's like 29 countries have actually recorded at least one case. Nine of the countries, fortunately, have reported the person or persons have actually recovered, or there's no longer a case. And most of the deaths have been in China, but there have been exception. Four separate individuals. Located in Japan, Hong Kong, France, and Philippines.
I mean, yeah, there's actually been a recorded case in the United States. There was one in Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
They said they recovered, you know, they're on the path of recovery right now, and they shouldn't worry. And but I don't know, there's just, the one thing is, I don't know, I mean, granted, we'll touch on this later, and I don't want to get too into it now, but can we trust the information coming out of China? And can we trust what they're saying to us, what's relaying? And the information has been a little sparse in the beginning, but now that the whole world has kind of like eagle clawed onto it, it's like, and it's a huge issue. It's like, you can't lie to us anymore. And, you know, that's the one thing that's a little concerning, and we'll get into it.
Yeah, I've actually heard that some of the stats coming from China have only been from the hospitals, and that there's people that have been choosing to not be quarantined. It's like, if I'm gonna die, I don't want to die in quarantine. I'm gonna die at home. So, there's a really great possibility that these numbers are higher than what they are, but from where they've gathered the data, this is what they have reported, because
this is coming from the hospitals.
Yeah, because China's only reporting exactly like what they get. They're not putting any margin of error in there at like the other countries, like the United States will put like the CDC will put a margin of error. It's like there's probably more than this.
Well, that's just like, you know, statistics in general, and like there's always like, you have to leave room for some error, but like when there's just, you know, a month or two of just missing information, that's when I start to get a little sketched out. But I mean, let's get into what the coronavirus is, you know, just the common conceptions of it, like And Joe, I know you've been doing some research on that.
Yeah, so I've been kind of looking into the facts a little bit of coronavirus. The WHO, the World Health Organization, has a ton of information on their website. Same with the CDC. And at, like, while it's comforting, at the same time, some of the information is like very scary about like just how fast these can spread. But what I learned, just like looking at the WHO website, and this is just basic information about coronavirus, which I didn't know. I thought this was like a specific thing. It turns out it's a whole family of viruses that have been around for a while. And so the definition basically is that it's a large family of viruses that can cause illnesses ranging from the common cold to more severe diseases such as SARS, which is the severe acute respiratory syndrome, and MERS, which is the Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome. What's really scary about this current outbreak is that it's what they call a novel coronavirus. So it's a new strain that hasn't previously been identified in humans. What's another unique thing about coronavirus is that they're zoonotic, which is true for many diseases, but it means that they're transmitted from animals to humans. There are also, which I found to be a little scary, is that there are several known coronaviruses that are circulating in animals that like scientists know about, but they haven't made it to humans. They haven't infected humans yet. A lot of times these zoonotic diseases and viruses will come from a very specific animal. For example, SARS was from civet cats to humans, and then MERS was from dromedary camels to humans. The official name, like Adam said, is COVID-19, and that's what's causing the current outbreak of coronavirus disease. Like, we were just going over the numbers as of Valentine's Day, which was just yesterday, it was 64,000, and today it's up to 67,000, so that's 3,000 infections in, like, in a day, it feels like.
Well, that's the crazy part. Like, it just, like, it can spread so fast, but the death rates really haven't been correlating to, like, that high, or you know what I mean? It's just, like, I feel like a lot of it is just, like, a big hysteria. And just,
oh, for sure.
You know, we have to know the latest updates, and, you know, the whole world is, you know, on edge right now. And, I mean, granted, which it should be because of, like, how it played out, but I feel like there's just so much that, you know, we don't know, and that's the scary part.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to get into some of the misinformation that's out there, but what's interesting about this particular coronavirus, COVID-19, is that like other coronaviruses, they might attach the way they have like these little crowns around
and you're talking about the actual virus itself.
So the body has like these little nodes that come out, right? They're like spikes or little horns or something, and this particular one, the spike actually attaches to your lungs. Okay. Right, and it starts to reproduce itself within your lungs. Other ones kind of attach in your nose, and you get like flu-like symptoms or like a common cold. So this one's like more dangerous because of how it doesn't attach in your nose; it actually attaches to your lungs and then starts
it attacks your respiratory system.
Yeah, and then it starts to like replicate itself within.
So that's kind of like the pneumonia-like symptoms and like. You know, like fluid and like almost like fluid in the lungs, you know, coughing up a storm, that type of stuff. Yeah. And like
people having trouble breathing. Mm-hmm.
One thing I noticed while I was doing just like background research on coronavirus was that on both the CDC website and the WHO website, what was comforting and also alarming was that while they are talking about these risks, these dangers of coronavirus specifically, it always came back to this isn't the main issue we're scared of. It's another strain of a seasonal flu. And they always go back to citing the seasonal flu stats. Like we're looking at 64,000 infected for coronavirus. But then you look at globally, the seasonal flu infects almost 646,000, excuse me. So like almost a million people every year.
I mean, the pharmaceutical industry goes, you know, it's crazy. You know, what is it? When they're studying the flu virus, they're only hedging the odds of, what next
right.
year
so the vaccine you get is like it's basically a gamble. They're hoping that it'll protect against the strains that they've identified and are most likely to be prominent. But it's also it's interesting that I sort of have this idea that, you know, this scary ass disease coronavirus is an indiscriminate killer, like it can get anybody, but you know, the more that I read about it, it's not indiscriminate. It kills certain groups of people at a much higher rate than others. For example, if you're younger, if you're older, if you already have respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to, the people that have been dying, like, yeah, there's an article I read, it's like, oh, it seems to be avoiding children, you know, and it seems that it's really been fatal for elderly people or people with other underlying immune system disorders.
One of the other big killers, as we were talking earlier, is like the health, people in the healthcare industry. So that's, you know, if you're surrounded by it 24/7, you know,
right.
They're the front lines.
Yeah, you're the front line defense. And
another scary thing is that not only are the healthcare workers at a higher risk of being exposed to the disease, they're at a higher risk of exposing others to the disease, especially if, you know, let's say you're working in a hospital where there is, you know, a couple coronavirus patients, but you work in the ICU or, you know, people who are recovering from surgeries, and let's say you happen to just pass it on to them, and these are people who are much at a higher risk. You know?
Yeah, their immune systems are already shot.
The hospital is a place you go to get better, not get infected.
That's a scary thing. And, well, I mean, I was actually reading something. I don't know if this is true. Maybe you guys know that the mask doesn't actually help prevent the infection, but it helps
keep you from spreading it
or something like that.
So the mask that you see people wearing, like on the news,
mm-hmm.
like the edges of them mm-hmm. are open, like. So those are pockets that the virus can come in through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also like doctor's masks that kind of look like the ones you get at Home Depot that cover your whole face.
Is that the one like the kind of like the painter's ones where like they have that little thing on top and like actually filters out the air?
Yeah, it's like a one that covers your whole face,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not the rectangle one. It's more like the teardrop one that kind of goes over your nose and around your chin. So, and those are the ones that like doctors will typically use.
Yeah.
And those are actually better. That's what I was reading.
Okay.
To wear, but really, I was going to touch on this later on, but really, it's the people who are sick that need to wear it because they're the ones who are spreading it. So the mask actually just catches
the infection.
So I want to get into some of these theories that were popping up over the last couple weeks.
It's a lot of strange. I always think about Chernobyl, you know, need to contain the spread of misinformation, which is, it's scary, but like, and again, going back to that hysteria, people come out with some wackadoo crazy stuff and people are pulling all over the place. And granted, like, I think it's fun to like kind of like that thought experiment, but like once it's actually affecting like doctors in China, and like we've gone a little too far. And like granted, like I have one little sensationalist bit I'm gonna get into, and just a thought experiment. But you know, it's, you know, we have to nip the, you know, this poor spread of information in the bud, and then kind of, you know, people always want to blame something. And because I think that's the scariest part, is we don't know then like the outcome or how to fix it. People are just going to be jumping left and right to whatever they can think of. And I was like, what was it? Steve Bannon had a podcast on the day I was listening to it.
Very knowledgeable and credible source.
I was just laughing the entire time. And like, it's like people actually believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And there's a big population that's like, you know, in the beginning when we were talking about, oh, you know, we should do the coronavirus, you know, it was created in a lab in Wuhan, you know. You know how many Facebook articles and people are immediately jumping and, you know, racist threats and everything like that?
Well, that's what really, you know, bums me out about some of the stuff I was seeing on, like, Twitter and Facebook. Just people that are, you know, these racist outbursts.
Asian
people. And it bothers me because, like, these times of not necessarily an epidemic or a pandemic, but, like, when, you know, disease has become such a, you know, becomes a forefront prominent issue, it's something the world together has to work on to solve. You know, we need to come together and make sure that vaccines are being made, people aren't traveling, people are taking care of themselves, making sure they're not spreading the disease. But when you start this divisiveness, this, you know, mud throwing about where did it start, how, like, who ate what, like, who caused it.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be focused on that. We should be focused on how do we stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of things, and I think it's what it boils down to is when people are scared and they don't understand someone else's culture, they don't have all the right information, then they make assumptions. It's like we have to kind of stop making assumptions about like other people's culture and stuff. And I want to get into this now because I'm going to touch on some of the theories about this. So the first one I actually wanted to talk about was there's reports that it came out of a Chinese bio lab. So like the Washington Times like falsely claimed that the coronavirus originated from a lab in Wuhan, and this is linked to like the China's bio warfare program where they study. So The lab that they were referring to is the Wuhan National Level 4 Biosafety Lab. And in the Washington Times article, the interviewee of the article is a former Israeli military intelligence officer who later in the article actually says there is no evidence or indication of this virus coming from this lab. This is just his own speculation. And basically, his comments kind of created a surge in the news media where
And that, this is the New York Times, mind you.
No, this is the Washington Times.
Washington Times, excuse me. And, like, for that to make, like, headline media of just so, like...
Oh, there.
That surprises you.
Yeah, I mean, that's on the news the every day. Dude, this is the Washington Post. This they're is, like... I they're, it. Like, the...
But they're making millions of dollars slinging this shit, and, you know...
I don't know if the Washington Times is making millions, but...
Or, Washington Times, thank you. Okay. I don't know, Dude, I've, like, seen some stuff, and I don't want to get into it, like, politically, but I don't know. It's not someone that I typically...
Whose agenda are you on?
So, some of these news sources, and there was a couple other ones, actually had to backtrack their statements after more reliable sources claimed that the outbreak came from an animal market in Wuhan. The Wuhan National Level for Biosafety Lab does handle like Ebola, the coronavirus, and the lab was actually built because of the SARS outbreak in 2003. So they built this lab to study these things, but it didn't mean that it came from there. And I'm sure y'all, you've listeners already have heard that it came from a market or from maybe a little bit before then. The next conspiracy is that it was stolen from Canada. So this theory references an article about this Chinese couple where Miss Cho, she's a
virologist.
Thank you, virologist.
Gotcha.
I can't read. Yeah, and her husband, who's a biologist, were dismissed last year after the National Microbiology Lab staff reported that there was a toxic work environment under the couple's management of the lab. Conspiracists alleged that they may have been Chinese spies, but the Canadian authorities quickly squashed that theory. And the public health agency spokesperson told factcheck.org that there was no truth behind these allegations. The lab also deals with deadly viruses, and Cho actually is a celebrated scientist who helped develop ZMapp, which is a treatment for Ebola. And Ebola killed like 11,000 people in West Africa between 2014 and 2016. So, I mean, that's some good work that she did. And they made sure, like the Canadian health minister made sure to tell people that there was no risk for Canadians and that they weren't part of this Chinese spy team.
Oh, and just to go back to like earlier for like the bioweapon, if this was an actual like, it's like the shittiest bioweapon.
Yeah, they could have picked something better.
Like that they ever created. It's like killed 1% of infected people. Granted, it spreads really fast, but like, it's like think about anthrax. Like
if you're playing Pandemic 2, you would have lost the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it's like if they wanted to have a lot deadlier of a weapon, you know, they could have created it.
I think
much easier.
They would do. This is how I've always thought it would happen. You get your flu shot, free flu shot, right? Mm-hmm. There's some
contaminants in there and stuff.
What are they called? The little robots? Nanobots? Some little nanobots, right, are in there, injected in you, swimming around, replicating you unknowingly, and then, like, kill switch. And then,
dude, exactly.
Adam's anti-vax hot take. Nanobots in the flu shot.
Don't get your anti-vax.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I just think that would be, like, a way to, you know, to do it. Like, it's like, get your flu shot, right, and then... It's just replicating inside of you. Or they would just be like, maybe they would just take over your brain and they're like, vote for this person.
Oh, so they flip the switch during the presidential races.
Mike can get it done.
Oh, yeah, goodness. Oh, no. No.
It's happening.
Oh, no.
motherfucker spent
large amounts of money to anyone who would speak well about him on any platform.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mike Bloomberg, we want that money.
He didn't give us that money, so I'm gonna speak the truth. He doesn't like women for
just
some
reason. We want the check, hit us up.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take your millions of dollars. Yeah. We'll continue to spread the lies for you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God. It will be America just like the Washington Times, I guess. Oh, my
reporting
goodness.
Out of your basement.
Yeah. So the next theory was it was made in the U.S. labs. And this came from a couple of different people passing around like patents. Also, like the Russian news outlets also said that it came from the United States. But what's been passed around is like these patents for genetic materials of the coronavirus. But really what it is a lot of the patents that have been passed around were for the SARS virus, which is a form of coronavirus. And also like another one was for like a vaccine to treat chickens.
So people like, saw these patents and assumed they were like dealing in...
Because like, well, SARS is part of corona, right. You know. So yeah, but like when people really looked into it, they realized that no, it's not this particular coronavirus. But the Center of Disease Control did take ownership of this because they wanted to make sure that others didn't take control of this technology, and they wanted to allow researchers to actually study the virus as well. So that's the reason why the CDC, Center of Disease Control, took ownership of it.
You can patent a virus?
Really?
Like, isn't that like a natural occurring thing? Like, if you're the first to find it, you're like, it's mine.
Does that work with like comets and stuff, or like you get to name it if you're like the first to find it, or like depending on what, like
you can patent the cures, and a lot of the cures come from viruses,
right?
Okay. And
since like an inoculated strain, so technically is the virus. I got you.
So, which is another just like messed up things, like just
put it in you.
Like, dude, who's that one dude? He was like some little creepy dude that like he had the cure for AIDS or something, or cancer.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Martin Shkreli, who raised the price of a cancer curing drug, really insulin. But
fuck that dude.
Yeah, he's just a Wall Street bro.
Yeah, that's just like,
well, and that's America for you. Just like, all right, how can we make money off death like immediately?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we're the first one with this technology. We're not going to
do that. Well, I guarantee like every drugstore in China is offering huge sales on masks, or hiking the price like crazy.
That's a problem with chess players. You know, they're like, we're just playing chess.
No.
And it's like, we're going to fuck you over. But no, that's just, I'm just kidding. Chess is awesome. But like, no, that dude's so lame. Like, just like, who's that scientist that discovered penicillin? He was the one that's like, just give it to everyone. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, and plus, what was it like during World War One, where like the French maids or like the French hospital people would keep penicillin like live, like penicillin. The
French maids.
Not maids.
Nurses.
That's
a term you're looking for.
They're like dusting, right? And then they have like a little syringe, you know.
But that, what was it? They would keep spores in their linens and stuff, and then like whenever they like needed it, they would like pretty much like soak their linens in water and then completely wrap the soldiers with like these like spore infested penicillin, and it actually worked. And like, you know, that was like the first forms of antibiotics, and that's why we got to go back to the old days, you know, just start putting spores on people just for like for no reason.
Rub dirt in it
exactly.
The dirt's good. Kids, like, or parents, you should just let your kids play in dirt. Like, it has so many different types of biomaterial, and they need to be exposed so that they can be...
That's why I think my roommate is sick.
Strong.
His mother didn't let him play in the dirt.
Sheltered.
When he was a kid.
Boy.
Yeah. And, you know, he only ate organic foods and didn't play in the dirt.
No, organic foods are good.
Well, they're good, but, you know, you got
to
eat some
shit.
That's
what you need to eat. The organic foods.
The organic shit has more shit.
Yeah, it has a lot of the extra shit in there.
Well, that's like, I don't know. Maybe not.
It just doesn't have the chemicals in it.
Okay. Well,
get back to coronavirus, one thing I did notice after traveling this weekend was that in D.C., the D.C. metro system right now, I saw far more people wearing masks than I did in New York City. And I was surprised. I would have thought, you know, New York City, everyone's already wearing a mask, and there's way more people. I guess maybe because there's like CDC offices in DC and WHO offices, but who knows? I was definitely surprised. I thought the panic would definitely be setting in more in New York than
100%
in DC, but apparently not.
That's interesting.
But you know, both places not a whole lot of masks. But
I don't feel like
I have my scarf, my infinity scarf, and that's like just wrap that up. No, just wash it.
Oh, exactly.
I have a couple of those.
Makes you feel like a ninja at the same time.
Yeah. And there's no air pockets to escape.
Well, it's actually held up by two shurikens on each side, so you know it's a weapon too. You know, if you need to get a quick getaway.
So, where did this virus actually originate from? So, some people were saying that it was from people eating bat soup, and I just want to say that's wrong.
Yeah,
because
cultures, people,
as you said before, it's like cooked meat doesn't spread the virus. It's spread from livestock, live animals, right? Or contaminated meat, right? But this bat soup that people were like, oh, are they eating bats? So it's like, you know what? Just be a little bit more adventurous. You know, try some bat soup. You might like it. You know, and it's okay. It's like, if it's part of their culture, you know, respect that. But
Anthony Zimmerman from Bizarre Foods, if it looks good, eat it.
Yeah, like...
Well, I don't condone shark fin soup, though. That's a little fucked up. I think
is that the official Tales of the Cryptid stance?
Yeah. It's fucked. I think the Japanese. It's Japanese. It's Chinese. Right, that's Chinese. Okay, yeah. My bad.
And there's another thing that we should also not condone, right? That's the pangolin, right? Is that how you say it?
Pangolin.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Sandshrew.
Yep.
You know, it's this really cute animal. And this is actually another theory that is more likely that the virus originated from a pangolin. And this is because it is the most trafficked animal. And if y'all don't know what it is, just look it up. It looks like a Sandshrew from Pokemon. It's the cutest little scaly ant-eating mammal that you'd ever see.
It's like an armadillo with scales. It's adorable.
It's so cute. Wait, armadillos? I guess they're armored, not scales.
Yeah.
These are kind of armored too. They're like
armadillos.
They are like layered. They're like shingles, but these scales are also their armor, right? But anyways, like so, this pangolin is actually the most trafficked animal in the world, and it's because people love eating it, and people think that the scales are used for medicinal use. And that's kind of true, but you can get like keratin and other types of nutrients from other things. You don't need to eat this animal for its medicinal use because...
Leave them alone.
Yeah. Like, so it's actually endangered because people have been eating them. So...
You gotta be careful with tradition, you know? It's one of those things that's like, even though it's been happening for the past thousands of years, we need to change. We need to adapt, people.
Right. It's like believing in a book that was written over 2,000 years ago.
We'll get into that.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, we'll go back to it. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so...
That's like when I was hating on the Jews for so much with the Lilith and Succubus episode. I got scared.
Don't hate on them. You are them.
I'm a half Jew. I'm a halfie, damn it.
I love Judaism.
We love all religions. And
I just like the idea that like we're not taking any new applications. We're God's chosen people and we know it.
South Park told us to believe it was the Mormons, though.
Oh, God. Right. Which was created by Jews. Jewish people.
It was crazy. Oh, God.
The Americans were the original Jews.
Exactly.
God. So
it's Joseph Smith.
I mean, it seems like it came from a market in Wuhan that sold live animals, and some say that it actually happened before then. You know, that humans actually brought it over. I don't know, but I'm just trying to give people the information. I just wanted to let you know. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what it wasn't, you know, because misinformation can be very dangerous, and we should be trying to help each other and like stop accusing people of what they're doing, you know, in their cultures.
I think it's just like we need to get on the the path of like, all right, let's get away from all the corporate BS. How do we move forward? How do we help people? But I also think, you know, it's like kind of a segue. Like, you have to be able to trust your sources. And so that's where it gets a little shady, just because the Chinese government and just a government, like, sanctioned state that, you know, how many Facebook posts, and what was it, Weibo? Is that the big social media thing in China? Like
TikTok?
No, I think it's
everywhere.
Weibo. Weibo. That's how, like,
the, is that their Facebook?
It's like something
like another social media.
It's like another social media in China, and yeah, that's like how, like, a lot of these doctors were like starting to tell people, like starting to tell the public that, you know, SARS-like things were, the conditions were coming back, and they didn't, you know, they didn't know, and but just like the government completely strong-arming and just deleting posts, you know, taking away what people thought, but. You know, there's how many billion people in China? Like, you can't control it all.
Yeah, wasn't there that story that went viral, the woman's video, right? Where, like, she took a video of, like, what she was trying to do was, like, she's going to hospital, and trying to find someone that would treat her husband,
mm-hmm.
right? And she couldn't find, like, they kept denying her. So she'd go to the next one, right? And it's like, oh, he has a fever, we're not going to take him. So she kept going and going, and then she got stuck when they started quarantining, like shutting stuff down and quarantining them. So she takes this video of, like, people wrapped up in sheets who have already deceased in the hallway of the hospital, right? And they it like blows up on social media, right? And then the government, like, shuts down her social media. Yeah. It's like she's just trying to, like,
she's trying to let the people
know. She's trying to, like, she just wants to help her, like, her husband. She wants to help herself, like, her child at home with the elderly grandparents, you know, and she's just, like, scared for her life.
Yeah.
And, like, the video is, like, the hospital's crowded, right? And it's, like, so sad that you just see these people in cots just wrapped up.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many, you know, sick people, so to speak, and that's what this, like, hysteria, it's, you know, stay at home, you know, try not to infect people, stay quarantined. And because people were lied to in the beginning, I think it just made it worse.
Yeah, it's like
he... Well, and plus, you know, just, you know, the doctor who died, Dr. Li, he was one of the first, you know, so-called whistleblowers. Dr. Li Wenliang, so in the beginning of December, he started to notice, you know, these SARS-like symptoms, you know, no one's getting cured, pneumonia, you know, that coming around. And so I think that's where I gotta look this up. Oh, he started posting to Weibo.
I know it's not Weibo.
Sino Weibo. Is a Chinese microblogging website launched by Sina Corporation in August 2009, the biggest social media platform in China. So, yeah. But so he started probably pronouncing it wrong.
Hey, if any Chinese listeners want to chime in,
let us know
how to pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly. But so he started posting into it, you know, and there was 8 other doctors or something like that. And so, but Dr. Li was one of the first ones. He actually died, you know, several weeks later. And so this is what the, you know, translated in English. This is what the letter they made him sign, which is pretty scary. You know, that just the police officers stopped a doctor, you know, in the middle of a almost pandemic-like state, hysteria going everywhere. And this is where I don't know, and it's like, I guess where the room for conspiracy theories come up is because of these first 2 months of, you know, controlling the spread of information. But, you know, the letter says, by law, regarding your unlawful spreading of untruthful topics on the internet, we are accordingly putting forward warning and admonition. Your behavior severely disturbs social order. Your behavior has suppressed what is allowed within the law, violating the provisions of the People's Republic of China Public Order Management and Punishment Law. this is unlawful behavior. The police department wishes for your active cooperation. Listen to the police officer's recommendations. And from now on, halt this unlawful behavior. Can you do that? He answers, or he writes, yes, I can. We hope you can calm down and conduct some self-reflection and seriously warn you. If you are stubborn, don't think to repent and continue your activities that break the law. You experience the sanction of the law. Do you understand? I understand. And so this was, and you know, he had to sign it, you know, signed it, officer had to sign it. And then this was, you know, in the beginning of January, you know, 2020. And then, you know, several weeks later, goes back to work, trying to help the people, dead. Mm. So that's, you know, the scary thing is, I just don't get why, you know, why they were so gung-ho. And I think that's...
Well, to play devil's advocate, you know, I've always been of the theory that, you know, humanity is 3 days away from chaos. You know, I feel like... if enough people get riled up about something, mm-hmm. we're not far off from taking to the streets. I mean, you think about it. You go 3 days without being able to get access to food or without any communication from anybody.
Go crazy.
Yeah, I can get it. Why the Chinese government would want to, you know, maintain a control of the information that's being spread. One, you got to think about the economic side of it. Anybody who has investments in Wuhan or anywhere in China, for that matter, is all of a sudden now worried about the safety of their investments. And so while China has a responsibility to do the right thing for their citizens and to contain this, they also have their economic interests in mind. And so it's the constant struggle of living in, you know, our modern society, you know, human lives over capital.
Yeah, and that's... But, I mean, it's the point where, you know, I was listening to a bit on the SARS... And going back to the lying, you know, when the WHO would come to inspect, you know, the SARS incidents, there was reports that they would put patients in ambulances and just drive them around the city until the WHO left, put them in hotels. And so that's why, like, you really can't trust. And that's why I think the social media is so important, because, you know, people will be saying, you know, people are going to talk no matter what. You can't control, you know, billions of people, what they say. You can try.
Once again, to play devil's advocate, I mean, based on what I've alone seen on social media, it would have you think that China's entirely in a state of lockdown, the entire nation. Because you look at these videos of people, you know, filming body bags overflowing ambulances and hospitals overflowing with patients.
To be fair, that is in Wuhan. So, I mean,
right, granted, but, you know, like, who knows if the situation on the ground is actually like that. I feel like a lot of times we're seeing videos that are from weeks and weeks ago that might not necessarily be new, or might be from somewhere else entirely.
And plus the context of some of these videos, you don't know. And it, that's what makes
that's
it
why
really
it's
hard.
I think the main takeaway I have from especially just deep diving for info on this is that we definitely need to put more faith and trust in the NGOs that are working on problems like this. Like WHO is doing amazing work. Doctors Without Borders is doing amazing work. Even governmental organizations like the CDC. Well, they're the people in positions of power with the info and the tools to try and solve the situation. So part of me is like, yes, take it all with a grain of salt. Don't trust anything they're saying. But at the same time, if I had to put my trust in somebody, it would be WHO and the CDC.
How much is the Chinese government paying you?
Enough.
No. How much yen is in their bank account, damn it?
You know...
Mike can get a gun.
Yeah, I think that... I think that's what's important. It's like... The Lunar New Year was happening. They had this crazy banquet, mm-hmm. right next to this market, right? And... people knew, like, people were talking about this, right? Like, you said Dr. Li mm-hmm. was trying to bring, like, say something about, like, all the healthcare workers knew about this, right? Before it really, like, hit the news cycles mm-hmm. and, like, it became a big thing. Like, people were new and people were talking about this. But when you value, like, the social, the investments, the social balance, like,
social,
you know,
stigma and that sort of thing.
Yeah, like, you know, you tell people nice things because you don't want people to get riled up. But then you also, like, put people in danger and then, like, people get sick and people die. And then there's people that don't know what's going on because information isn't getting put out there.
It's just the people.
And then people get scared and, like, and... I don't know, like, the problem, I think the problem is, like, it seems like their government is doing a really good job on a lot of different fronts. But I think it's important to just also be like, look, this thing is happening, and it's going to take all of us to combat it. So this is the things that you're going to need to do so that we can all, like, stop this and nip it in the bud. And I think that the SARS virus from 2003 is still, like, fresh in a lot of people's minds. Like, like in 2003, I was 13, right? And so it's not really that fresh in my mind because, you know, I'm an American citizen and I was doing other stuff. But, like, you got to think, like, there's people that are 40, 50, 60 years old where, like, I feel like a decade has just gone by so quickly, you know, 2 decades, like, just like that. You know, I remember when I was, like, 10 years old, and this year I'm going to be 30 years old. You know, so, like, there's a lot of things that from then are fresh in my mind. And, like, people are going to remember these things. And it's, like, really important that the governments also say, hey, this is something that's happening. Like, you know, they should try to really have, like, the people's trust and, like, also try to help them, because then what ends up happening is, like, then it doesn't matter how much you suppress people are gonna eventually get fed up with it. And if you really care about them, then you should really, like, tell them the truth about it, because it's not like it's their fault. You know that it happened. Like, of course, negative things are gonna happen. It's not always gonna be like good and sunshine. Like, no, like, if you really wanna grow, you have to get through these bad times, and you just gotta be out there and just be like, look, this is a bad time, and this is what's going on, and we're gonna do everything that we need to do to fix it. But this is what you need to do.
Well, that's the scary thing, is they didn't show prevention measures until a month or two afterwards. And so that's what kind of brings, you know, concern to me. It's like, all right, lie about it all of the month of December, contain any, my favorite word this episode, spread of misinformation. But, you know, after that, you know, the people know, all right, so now you have to have preventative orders. And it's actually very simple. I mean, not simple, but, you know, it's like the common flu.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to protect yourself.
Exactly. And so that's the information that should have been spread first. And so I think that because it has such a global attention that, you know, they fucked up, you know. Now they have to, you know, tell all the measures of what you need to do. Pretty much, you know, quarantine yourself like a normal flu, like, you know, if you have the flu. You know, if you're getting astronomically sick, there's, you know, hospital outlets and everything like that. You know, obviously, people who are more at risk, or you were talking earlier, like, you know, the elderly, people who work in the healthcare industries. But it's that I think that they cared about their investments, you know, more so than the people. And that's, like, you know, the scary thing. And, you know, not to mention that, okay, this is me speculating, you know, getting a little crazy here, but I think it's real weird that all this is happening right after the trade war, you know, the Chinese-American trade war. And so, you know, I don't know. You're
saying Donnie himself unleashed.
I don't know, Donnie. What are you doing out there trying to mess with all the people? But, I mean, what is it? Yeah, 200 billion, you know, China signed a trade deal, have $200 billion or more spending, whatever, in the next 2 years. And what this is let's see. So they want to go up. Manufactured goods are being touched on, agricultural goods, energy goods and services. But nowhere do you see Big Pharma. And so that's kind of the scary thing, because, I don't know, Big Pharma is kind of one of those, like, you know, needle in the haystack. No one wants to talk about it until the end, but they're providing so much money. And so, but we don't realize that, you know, the U.S. imports almost like 80% of its raw materials for, you know, for medications and stuff. So just, you know, reading from...
Wait, they import it from where?
From China.
From China?
So just according to the Commerce Department data, or the Commerce Department, their data shows that America, last year, it's in 2018, China accounted for 95% of U.S. imports of ibuprofen, 91% of hydrocortisone, 70% of acetaminophen, 40% of penicillin, and 40% of hairpin. And so that's...
Hairpins?
Yeah, hairpin. Sorry. I think that's like the cancer fighting.
Oh, okay, hairpin.
Hairpin, yeah. One of the cancer like fighting agents and antibiotics. And so that's... You know, I think that's them trying to protect their investment. You know, how is China, you know, having this epidemic, but they're the leading, you know, exporter of these raw pharmaceutical goods? You know, they wanted to keep their investments in check. They wanted to say, like, no, like, I think Wuhan has one of the biggest, like, pharmacy distributors, and, like, they create all the raw goods, you know, people in America are checking in on that. And, you know, I think it's a little odd that, you know, just the timing of it, sign this deal, you know, just, okay, we'll control this, you know, we'll control the information until, bam, phase one hits. And then it's kind of now, the whole trade deal has just gone kind of by the wayside. And people are, you know, now worried about their, you know, what's going to happen next. You know, supply chains are going to be fucked.
Companies are realizing that they need to have the resources that they're bringing in diversified. Like, they can't have it in one part of the global market, that they need to make sure that either they're doing it themselves or they're getting it from a bunch of different areas as well. But
I think that the global economy is so interconnected that almost if this happened in almost any country of the world, there would be economic ramifications.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I believe that too.
But it's just, I think it's a little curious, a little odd, you know, just the timing of it. I don't know. I don't want to bring up, you know, too many conspiracies, Donnie. Well,
that's what the Russians were saying. That's what the Russians were saying.
You know?
And you know, I don't know. It's close. But I don't want to. I don't think there's not much. So, I haven't really found any proof in it, even though there's a slight correlation. So, I do want to know though. How can people really order some of the preventative measures?
So the WHO actually has quite a few recommendations of what you should do, and actually most of them have to do with the seasonal flu, and they say that overlaps with any, you know, coronavirus, any other new strain of like flu. You know what I mean. Anyways, they're infection prevention, you know, it's pretty, you know, common sense stuff. Regular hand washing, covering your mouth and your nose when you're coughing and sneezing, thoroughly cooking your meat and eggs, avoiding close contact with anyone that showed any symptoms of respiratory illness, such as coughing or sneezing. So it's pretty no-nonsense basic stuff. And I was actually listening to the news this morning, and they had a special guest from the WHO, and her main recommendation was, if you feel yourself getting sick, stay inside. You know, don't go to work, don't go out. Just keep yourself safe. Keep everybody around you safe.
If you see anybody outside coughing or sneezing, run away.
Tackle them immediately.
No, don't tackle them. Run away.
I think my main takeaway from this whole thing, and what most of the resources I've looked into have sort of laid in very thick, is that, you know, while this coronavirus is a problem, it's now on its way to being dealt with. But what we have to keep in mind is that, you know, what's really going to hurt us, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, is going to be a new novel strain of the seasonal flu. Yeah. We only have to look back 100 years and look at the Spanish flu that killed, what, you know, 20 to 50 million people worldwide. Almost a third of the planet's population got infected. And
it didn't come from Spaniards. It didn't come from Spanish people. It was just location.
You know, I think it's... It is.
There's nothing wrong with...
Hispanics, but we love you Spanish people.
But just, I think that, you know, like, staying on top of your flu shots every year and understanding that, you know, this is a risk that we face living on this planet. And it's a risk that mankind faces constantly.
And, you know, we're talking, you know, these, you know, epidemics are cyclical.
It's been about every 100 years there's been a large seasonal flu pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it? The Scarlet We had scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever, and then you have Spanish flu, and you know, in 1918, and now it's been 100 years.
So it's the next one. Stock up on face masks. How about gas masks? Do gas masks, are they?
Work. Yeah, I think so. Get your gas mask.
I have a really nice, like, Panners mask, like, and it has, like, these two filters on the side.
Oh, yeah, those are
dope. Legit like, ones. For, like, spray painting and stuff.
But, you know, I think you both were sort of hinting towards the fact that the idea of there being another epidemic or pandemic was having everyone shook. And I think it's definitely, like, a base human fear. That there's an enemy out there that we can't see, you can't fight, and, you know, it could take you at any time for any reason. I think it's a very natural human fear, especially as societies have grown larger.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, protect yourself. Just be careful.
Preppers. Be a prepper.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's one, you know, you got to look out for your own, you know, just look out for yourself a little bit in this one, and just, again, don't go to work, guys.
Yeah, if you're sick, stay the fuck home. Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to get sick. The people you see at work aren't trying to get sick. Stay home, bro.
If your boss doesn't understand, find a new job, damn it. Like...
And if you go to Chipotle and you see the guy making the food cough and walk out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leave.
I've actually just felt like I'm over Chipotle. It's not even because they've gotten people sick. I just feel like, man. You know, I was really into California Tortilla with all their hot sauces.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just they closed down.
I'm very sad about California.
Oh, man.
There's one by me.
Really?
Come to Silver Spring, Maryland. We got a Cal Tour.
I want a California Tortilla, like. Jeez. Chipotle, I'm talking to you. Step up.
Come on, man.
Qdoba, I would say step up, but you're not even at Chipotle. Okay?
What is Baja Fresh?
R.I.P.
Oh, Baja Fresh.
R.I.P. Baja Fresh. Yeah. Only to be found in airports now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what happened? What's wrong with Baja Fresh is that they don't know what they're doing.
It's just flat up. Get the fuck out of here.
I think the most depressing restaurant I've ever been to was an airport Baja Fresh Express. It was like one dude making quesadillas, just crying in there.
I think they gave me feta cheese on my rice and black beans, and the black beans weren't seasoned, and I was just very disappointed. I was like, what is this?
But you know what? I think the takeaway from this all is you shouldn't be afraid of coronavirus. You should be afraid of the flu. Yeah. Wash your hands. Get your flu shot.
Don't put your hand up to your mouth, because that's how the viruses come in. They don't get in through your skin, right? No. They come in through you touching a doorknob or shaking someone's hand that's sick, right? And then you touching your, like, yawning. Get your sleep. Don't
just
yawn.
Hit him with the Dracula every time. Just,
like, cough into your elbow. Yeah. You
don't
know.
Mess with your mustache or your beard. Like, touching your mustache, beard.
I'm getting pimples right here because I keep touching mustache.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what I told him.
And then, just keep your hands down. Wash your hands. You know, get yourself one of those cool human disinfectant things that they have now at Wuhan.
Oh, exactly.
You know, you just walk through and get disinfected and keep it moving. Like,
become a medieval doctor.
Elbow daps from now on.
Yeah. Say hello. And it's like, sorry, I can't touch you.
Season quarantine.
Yeah, it's just I work with kids, so I get like some weird sickness, and like this year was my first year that I like worked really closely with pre-K and K. You know, they don't wash their hands, they don't tie their shoes, they go to the bathroom, they don't tie their shoes. Then they're like, can you tie my shoe? And I tie their shoes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what happens? Then I touch my face.
Coughing and stuff.
Like, this episode brought to you by Purell.
Yeah.
Kills 99.99% of germs.
Yeah. It just
creates
the
super bacteria. Don't you use it. Just wash your hands, damn
it. Yeah, so I've been, you know, I feel like I'll be very immune to a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Very soon. But I really care about everyone. I really want y'all to be safe and you know, healthy, and I want everybody to have a great life. If there was some type of crazy utopia that we could live in where, you know, where actually I watched this cool video where they made the city inside of Dubai where all the houses had solar panels. They had a whole gray water system. They grew their own vegetables, mm-hmm. right? And everybody that lived in this community didn't have to pay for the fees of like wiping off their solar panels or like everything else, because they had like a little commercial area where people mm-hmm. could like get food and stuff like that. And that income from that commercial square offset those costs of keeping everything. So I think that like really what we should do is like figure out how we can just like advance to the next levels. You know,
what's it called? Type 1 civilization, yeah, like Star Trek.
Yeah,
global like, civilization. We're getting close, man. We're so interconnected through like economics, and now with the internet, you can talk to anybody in the world anytime. We're close, man.
Yeah, if you live in a hot area, turn your house around so that the windows face the opposite side. You know, if you live in a cold area, turn your house where the sun is so you get a warm stuff. That limits and reduces electricity, heating costs. Put some windmills up on your roof. My neighbor growing up had these little windmills that helped energize their home. Yeah, every little thing helps offset, you know, have some solar panels installed. Have a gray water system. Grow your own vegetables. Carry bags, you know, to the grocery store so you don't have to bring home paper bags. Did you know that paper bags cost more money because they're heavier when being shipped than plastic bags? But plastic bags are also bad because they use oil, and oil isn't that renewable.
Nope.
You know, because it takes a lot of time to make coal and oil. So anyways, there's a lot of things that we could talk about here, but I just want to say I love everybody. We're done.
Yep.
Okay.
Much love. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Stay safe out there, everybody.
Besos.
Yeah.
Tales of the Cryptids podcast is brought to you by Jam from the Fam. Jam from the Fam is an Australian-born, American-made chili jam that's delicious with every bite. You can check them out at www.jamfromthefam.com, or you can go to @jamfromthefam on their social media. Make sure to check these guys out. That jam is delicious, and you'll never want to go back. Jam from the Fam.